Good morning to you. I trust that you are all well. I trust that you have had good weeks, blessed weeks, a week that has been fruitful in spending time with the Lord, always, most importantly, to spend time with the Lord, either through prayer, through fellowship with others, obviously through reading of the Word, and I pray that you are growing nearer to the Lord in this time where we have been separated. But as I mentioned earlier, we'll be gathering from next week in person. And it will be a blessing indeed to get together. This week we're going to look at a message out of John chapter 3. As we know, John 3:16, everyone knows that scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But what are the repercussions of actually coming to Jesus? What does it mean to be born again? A message that's not preached in the church today. A message that is taken for granted today. And it's so important. Why? Well, simply because the Bible teaches it. The Bible tells us you have to be born again. Jesus tells a man by the name of Nicodemus, you have to be born again. And we'll be looking at that today. We'll be looking at the implications and the ramifications before Jesus fetches his church and establishes the kingdom. In this church age, you have to know, in this age of grace, that the Lord has given us the opportunity to respond to the gospel, to be born again. So that's what we're going to do today. The question is, are you born again? And I would encourage you to not look at the person next to you or to think of someone else, but rather examine your own heart. Examine yourself in considering this extremely, extremely important question. Because as you'll see, what Jesus says is that you have to be born again to enter or to see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. That's the crux of the gospel. The gospel helps us. The acceptance of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that remission of sins, that conversion that happens when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that surrender to Him is when the Spirit of God comes to indwell us, and that's what it means to be born again. So as we go into this message, I pray that you are receptive to the message and that you listen to how important it is to be born again. Father, we come before you to thank you for this opportunity again to preach the gospel, to spread the word online. Lord, I pray that this message really, really hits the hearts of everyone listening. And Lord, I just thank you that we are able to come into your word, to understand your word and to help it grow in us, to help it take root in us, the proper root in the soil that is so, so receptive, that soil that has got so many nutrients, that it grows thereby. So Lord, bless your holy word. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gospel as we go through this. In Jesus' name, I pray that you strengthen us. You take all distractions away, Lord, and that you keep us in the word, listening closely to the text. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to always, whenever someone's preaching, please open your Bible. And in this instance, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 to 8. The important thing, obviously, to remember is that this is a physical happening with Nicodemus and Jesus. This is a physical confrontation. Not as we know the word confrontation, but Nicodemus and Jesus were talking. They were dialoguing. Nicodemus was trying to understand who Jesus was. And so if you look at the passage, we'll read verses 1 to 8. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And as we're going through it, look at how many times the Lord mentions to Nicodemus that you must be born again. And look how many times he mentions the kingdom of God as well as the Spirit. It's so important when understanding this text. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things or signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The passage obviously goes on, and there's a further dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, and that's where it leads up to John 3:16, the scripture that we know so well. And then verse 20 finishes in the same passage, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light." Really, really important. He who does the truth comes to the light. We'll be covering that today. And that the lastly it says that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And obviously, being born again is a work of God. It's not a work of us, brothers and sisters. It's a work of the Most Holy. And so as we look at the first two verses, we're going to start and we look at the text. And remember what the text says. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one does these things that you do unless God is with him.'" So as we can see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and the Pharisee was a sect in Judaism. It probably started in and around the Babylonian exile, but what happened is that these Pharisees were very legalistic. They were so fixated on the law that many of them, as you see in the progression of the Gospels, many of them rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The very one they were to be looking for, or supposed to be looking for, they rejected. And so Nicodemus, as you notice in the text, he comes by night. He's a ruler of the Pharisees, yet he's trying to get to this Jesus to see who this Jesus is, what this Jesus is. Because, make no mistake about it, you can see here already Jesus was at the wedding in Galilee. We can see in the other Gospels that Jesus has done works by now, and the people are starting to talk. It's the same in our context. If you look at your office space or your sports club or whatever happens, where something happens, it always gets to the person quicker than what you thought it would. Even in your families. You'll see in the families that a secret is supposed to be held maybe for someone's birthday or a celebration, someone lets it slip because they just cannot handle that. And that's what Nicodemus was doing. Nicodemus was coming to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, there's something different about you because we can see that you're from God. You're doing signs. You're raising the dead. You're giving the sight to the blind. You're cleansing lepers. You're preaching this gospel, this gospel of the kingdom." And so Nicodemus comes to him by night because he's worried that he gets seen by the other Pharisees, which would mean that his career is done. And I say career because they were so legalistic, it might as well have been a career. And there's this man that comes on the scene, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who transforms the world by this gospel. He transforms people by the gospel. And as you'll see, the question I first want to relay to us today is, if Nicodemus has had this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of the Pharisees, you'll see later in the text that Nicodemus was actually a teacher of Israel. He was one of their teachers, yet he doesn't know what it means to be born again. He didn't know that passages in the Old Testament, like Ezekiel, we're talking about, Ezekiel 36, we're talking about a new heart and a new spirit and a new flesh in your heart, which means that you'll have to be born again, that something is going to change. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34, you can also go and look at that and see the fulfillments of these, that we have to be born again. And so the first point I want to make on today's message is that after meeting Jesus, your life will never be the same. After meeting Jesus, your life cannot and will not be the same. And so the question then is, have you met Jesus? You know, we have many people that go to church. We have many people that live somewhat moralistic lifestyles. They try and abide to the law of God, first of all, and then they try and obviously abide to the laws of the land. But You see, folk, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you born again. A Christian is actually a Christ follower, someone who follows Christ. In other words, not just follows him as some blind follow, but because you know through the evidence given to us that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died for our sins, that he rose again, and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the simplicity of the gospel, that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And therefore, when Nicodemus meets Jesus, he has this divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks at all this and more that Jesus is doing, and he says, there must be something about this man. There's something about him that people are following in numbers. Remember, Jesus wasn't obsessed with the crowds or anything like that. Whenever there was a crowd, he would either teach them or he would tell them they're not ready to hear the message because their hearts aren't ready. And remember, whenever we look at these messages in the scripture and the sermons that are preached, our hearts have to be in the right place to accept or receive and understand what the Word of God is saying. And so Jesus was busy changing Nicodemus' life. I'll show you in a few seconds why I say that. But you, when you're born again, you know that Jesus has changed your life. In other words, you've gone from darkness to light. You've gone from unholiness to godliness. You've gone from unrighteousness to righteousness. And as we go through the text, we'll understand that more clearly. But what is your testimony, folks? What is your testimony, brothers and sisters? What has made you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you had a testimony that is dear to you, which should be, any testimony should be dear to you, when did you have that encounter that Nicodemus is experiencing with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because after we have a divine encounter like that, we cannot go back to the world. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Why? Because the Spirit of God Himself, the very author of creation, lives within you and I. There's nothing greater than that, brothers and sisters. It is the most amazing message. So you'll see that in John chapter 7, Nicodemus is part of the Pharisees. Remember, in the first bit of the text, we can see he's the ruler of the Pharisees. He comes to Jesus by night. But I want to show you how Nicodemus' life is slowly transforming. So in our first text, in verses 1 to 2, he comes to Jesus by night. Later on, after this moment he has with Jesus, in John chapter 7, verse 45, you can see that they are now in the council, they're in Jerusalem, probably close to the temple or in the temple. And there it says, then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? So they're trying to get Jesus arrested to bring him to the Pharisees. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. For your life and my life, brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus, you will know that no man has ever spoken like this man. The Spirit of God testifies to that within you. Then the Pharisees answered them, these are the officers, and said, are you also deceived? So what they're straightly saying, plainly saying, is that Jesus is deceiving people. Yet you know that Nicodemus has had an experience with Jesus. You know that you've had an experience with Jesus. Many people today also say, you're deceived. I disagree. I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. My life can testify to it. And that's how I know that these men are just trying to push it off so that they don't have to, their sin and their darkness doesn't have to be exposed. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? So this is a question they're asking one another. Just picture all these people standing together and trying to understand why no one has brought Jesus to be arrested and questioned or tried. But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Right, so there again, the second bold statement, they're just telling everyone they're accursed because they're not abiding to the law, because they're believing in Jesus. But look at verse 50, John 7:50. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does your law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? So Nicodemus, now you can see that he's a teacher of Israel because he knows the law extremely well. And he says, does our law judge a man before it hears him? That's so, so important. So Nicodemus is being moved by this experience that he's had with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 52, they said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. Right, so Nicodemus now stands up for Jesus. So I want you to see the progression of Nicodemus's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He firstly meets him at night. He's hiding away and all these things. Now he stands up for Jesus in the midst of others. So once again, folk, if you have had an experience with Jesus, you'll stand up for him in the midst of others. It's unquestionable that the succession in each and every person's life and encounter with the gospel is changed, is moved, and does stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that he needs it. Believe me, the Lord Jesus is God. If you can fathom it, he is creator of the universe. He is creator of every single person you know. Every single thing you can see, he is creator. He can look after himself, I'm pretty sure about that. But it is for our hearts to understand that this man, this Jesus who came to die for us, is the one who transforms us. So John chapter 3, Nicodemus and Jesus. John chapter 7, Nicodemus standing up for Jesus and the Pharisees. Now still in John, the Gospel of John, go to chapter 19 and you go to verse 38. So this is what has happened. Jesus has just said it is finished. He said to Tetelestai, it is done. It is paid in full. The transaction has been paid to the Lord God Almighty. Verse 38, after this, so after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Look at verse 39. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So Nicodemus is there at the cross, now taking his Lord and Savior off the cross, because he knows the encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus. He knows this Jesus that he's met. He stood up for him. He sees him crucified. He sees him on the cross. And that's many times something we overlook. We tend to see Jesus on the cross, and many of us have watched different movies on the crucifixion, which are extremely sad and heart-wrenching. But imagine you're the one having to take Jesus off that cross. The nails are still in his arms. The nails are still in his feet. His body has been beaten beyond recognition. He's bleeding. His back is torn to smithereens. His face cannot be recognized. That's how badly Jesus was damaged for you and I, brothers and sisters. That's why it's so important that you're born again, that you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. This beautiful message of transformation and of forgiveness and eternal life. If you're saying and thinking, well, you know, yes, Nicodemus, there's some ground, there's some concrete to this that you're telling us, then I would like you to consider Paul as well. The Apostle Paul was there when Stephen was martyred. Stephen is dying. He looks up into heaven. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But guess who's standing there ordaining the stoning of Stephen? It's Saul of Tarsus, which we know as the Apostle Paul. He's the one standing there. His life is transformed, as you know, on the way to Damascus. He's going to persecute the very people he starts preaching the gospel to. His life is dramatically turned around. That's why we say that someone has had a dramatic testimony. He's had a Damascus moment. He's come from darkness into light. And so this is what happened to Paul. And it's so amazing that when you look at Paul, he was a follower of the law, but Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. That's what the Lord Jesus said. He did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but he came to fulfill those things. And so, if you say you've met Jesus, as evidently these two men's lives have been changed, we can look at the apostles, we can look at the other apostles that came in later, the disciples, all these people, we can look at Barnabas, Titus, Timothy, all these people, their lives were dramatically changed by Jesus Christ. So if you're saying you're born again, folks, has your life changed? Remember, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make you born again. It doesn't make you a follower of Jesus Christ. Saying a simple prayer doesn't get you, doesn't make you born again and doesn't save you. And the question is that if you have been changed, if you have been born again, then that moment that your life changed, can you look back and say, I am dead to all those things. I'm dead to everything that I was. If you take your Bibles and you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see Paul writing to a church that is up to all sorts of no good. It's a very worldly church at that moment, if you'd like to put it like that. But the first letter, Paul writes them for sexual immoralities and things like that, and now Paul's looking forward in the second letter to getting into a place of repentance. And this is when the Corinthian church was really transformed, I believe, by the power of repentance and the power of understanding what Jesus has done for us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul explains to them what it means to be in darkness, what it means to be in light. Look what he says. He says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Right? They've made themselves vulnerable. Paul has made himself vulnerable to the Corinthians so that he can grow them and be with them. Verse 12, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. You see, folks, if you're not born again, you're restricted by your own affections. In other words, your walk with the world is restricting your walk with the Lord. There are things, sins, and all sorts of things that one has to get rid of before you can actually come to true knowledge of the Savior. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the first thing that Paul says. When you've met Jesus and you know this encounter with Jesus is real and he has transformed your life, you would not want to fellowship with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? Remember, everything that is not of Jesus is lawless. But because of the cross, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, lawlessness becomes righteousness. Christ's righteousness is imputed and imparted to you. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with an unbeliever? Can you see the parallels? Can you see that those things are the past? Look at the future. Look towards Jesus Christ. Look what he's done for us on the cross. Those two things are diametrically opposed. Darkness cannot stand the light. Only we that are born again can understand the light of Jesus Christ. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So when Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, comes to live within you, that means you are the temple of God. The temple of the living God lives now within you. The old sacrifice in the Old Testament temple is gone. It's done by. But it's now living within each and every born-again believer. Why? Because God said in verse 16, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. That is the most amazing thing about the gospel message, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And he comes to transform us. So what I want to say is that firstly you must understand, please, it's my plea to understand, this is so, so important, is that the Bible testifies that our lives have to be changed. As Nicodemus's life was changed, so our lives must be changed. So remember, after Jesus, after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot be the same. You simply cannot be the same. And as we go to the next few verses, look at the progression of what is going on between Jesus and Nicodemus. It's the most amazing passage. I love this passage. It really speaks of what it means to be transformed by the Son. Following your Bible, please, back to John chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So as we can see, remember when we read the passages in the beginning, I asked you to look at how many times the Spirit was mentioned, how many times Jesus mentions is born again, how many times Jesus mentions all these things that he's saying to Nicodemus. So as we look at the text, Jesus says to him, so remember Nicodemus comes to him by night and he says, Lord, or he says rather Rabbi, which firstly means master in Aramaic, and then teacher is a different designation. The Greek word is didaskalos, which means to teach. So it's very interesting in Nicodemus when he meets Jesus, and it's for us as well. When we meet Jesus, we know his master. We know his master, and that his word is able to teach us. Teach us the way of life. Teach us the way of salvation. Teach us that he is and was and is to come. Then Jesus says, he doesn't entertain what Nicodemus is saying to him, but Jesus says, Nicodemus, most assuredly, verse 3, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, unless one is regenerated, remember you in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Every single person that does not know Jesus Christ is dead in sin. But when you meet Jesus Christ, he makes you alive. He puts his spirit in your deadness of spirit and he makes you alive. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that you have to be regenerated, you have to be converted, you have to become a new man or a new creation. Otherwise, you won't see the kingdom of God. And that is why it's so important for us to understand that we have to be born again. People overlook this passage way too often. Way too often they overlook this passage because we all just assume that we'll see the kingdom of heaven no matter how we live or no matter who we are. Folks, the Bible tells us time and time again that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. And this is why Jesus is reiterating to someone that was trying to keep the law perfectly like Nicodemus was. It's not going to help you, Nicodemus. You need to know me. You need to know Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord is saying. So obviously Nicodemus is a bit taken aback here because you can hear his response that he didn't expect Jesus to say what he said. Because Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Now surely Nicodemus is not a slouch. He's a very clever teacher. He's a clever man. He's the ruler of the Pharisees. He's a teacher of Israel, as the Lord says later. But now he's trying to counter what Jesus is saying by trying to understand, surely I can't get back into my mother's womb when I'm old. Can I go for a second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus doesn't entertain that question either. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, if you look at the text, a plain reading of the text, which I encourage people to do, read the text plainly as it says. Don't look for deeper significant meanings when we don't even understand the context of the passage. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, right, that's our first birth. Every one of us have been born of water. In your mother's womb, there's water in the womb, and the water breaks, the baby is ready to come out. It's as simple as that. The second one is that you must be born of the Spirit. Those are the two ways, firstly, obviously being born by your mom, but secondly, by the Spirit. The new creation has to happen. The regeneration of spirit has to happen. Otherwise, there's consequences again. Jesus says you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, right? So there's our first birth. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your new birth, your rebirth. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Three times Jesus has said it. And I'm going to say it a lot more. Folks, Jesus is making it very, very clear that there's only one way to enter the kingdom of God. And that's through being born again. Which Jesus do you know, brothers and sisters? Which Jesus do you know? Do you know the one that takes you from death into life? Do you know the one that takes you from sin to salvation? Do you know the one that takes you from darkness into light, from law to grace? From practicing law to faith in God? We can carry on with darkness and light, all these pictures we can look at. But that's the most important thing, is that we have to understand that we have been saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for you have been saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. We have done nothing to earn salvation. Jesus has done everything. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. A gift of salvation is for you and I. And this is why this message of being born again is so important, as is every other message really with the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. In him we have redemption. through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That is what we have, folks. That's the gospel message. There's other verses that speak about being born again before we say, oh, but that's only one text, and you know, I'm not too sure. Okay, well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. I'll read it for us, just so that you can see that the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John were on the same page when it came to this. So go to 1 Peter 1 verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So there you can see the Apostle Peter is saying, you have purified yourselves in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. Nicodemus has this encounter. It changes his life forever. You and I pray, have had this encounter or will have this encounter. If you're sitting there today and the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you are not born again, brothers and sisters, repent and believe in the gospel. Come to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and ask him for his Spirit to cleanse you and work in you and sanctify you like the Word does. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, having been regenerated, having been made a new creation, a new man, not of corruptible seed. You see, corruptible seed cannot fellowship with the seed of God. The seed of God is truth. The seed of God that comes to live in us, the Spirit that lives in us, cannot. It goes completely against the corruption of this world. How are you also born again after you meet the Lord Jesus Christ? It says here, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Brothers and sisters, this book that we have, that we, I pray, do not take advantage of. This book has everything in for eternal life. It explains to us the plan of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The full plan of redemption is explained in this book time and time again. And I pray that this word takes root in your heart, because there's nothing greater than the word taking root in you. You will be transformed. I can promise you, you will be transformed. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Start from verse 4 rather, but when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, the kindness is in Jesus Christ for salvation, not by works, remember as you read in Ephesians 2, it's not by works we've been saved, but of the righteousness of Christ, and his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we can clearly see that to all the apostles were on the same page. They all understood this, that this had to happen. Why? Because the encounter that John had, the encounter that the Apostle Peter had, the encounter that Paul had, changed them completely. It changed them completely. Remember, they were fishermen, but they were to become fishers of men. That's the most important thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, as you know, the scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, experiences this new life, is a new creation. Guarantee you, what, you can one day go out to Nicodemus and ask him, what happened, Nicodemus? How did Jesus look on that cross? How did you have the guts to do that? I bet you he'll tell you it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely amazing. So remember, we go from unholiness to godliness. When you've got the Spirit of God in you, you will not want to fellowship with darkness. So you meet the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus now is talking about the Spirit that has to indwell us. Remember, the first birth is of the flesh, the second birth is of the Spirit. You are born again, the most amazing way. The Spirit of God does it himself. You'll see in verse 7, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And we'll get into verse 8 now, but the wind blows where it wants. The Spirit blows and goes where he wants. And he wants to inhabit those that have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folk, have we gone from death to life? Have we gone from sin to salvation? Have you got a deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love him so much? Like Nicodemus did, do you love him that much? Like Paul did, like Peter did, like Matthew did, like everyone else did. Do you love him that much? Once you're born of the Spirit, you'll have a love for Jesus. You'll have a love for the Word. You cannot get enough of this Word of God. It saturates your whole life. It saturates your being. It washes you. It cleanses you. Ephesians 5. Jesus makes this picture of the church and the husband. Or Jesus and the husband and the church and what the wedding, the marriage is supposed to be like. But he says in verse 25 that he might cleanse her and wash her by the sanctifying of the Word. By the washing of the water of the Word. The Word cleanses us, folks. Do you have a love for fellowship? Do you want to come together with those in fellowship? And do you have a love for the truth? This transformation, folk, is divine. It is miraculous and it's transforming. And we look at the last verse for today in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. John chapter 3 verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, you cannot tell where it comes from. You cannot tell how people are born again, but we know through the Scriptures how we are born again. Through coming to repentance, through acknowledging that we are sinners and we need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior of the world. Remember, it's not just believing in Him. James chapter 1 talks about the demons believing and trembling. Do you believe all those things that Jesus is? And the promises that He has made to us, that He is coming soon. Do you believe that, folks? Do you believe that He has transformed your life? And He conforms you, through the Holy Spirit, conforms you into the image of Himself. That is the goal of the Holy Spirit, other than pointing us to the truth, which is in the Scriptures, is to transform us into the image of the Son. May we be transformed day in and day out by that Spirit of God. The wind blows where it wishes. The word there, the wind, that actually is the word pneuma, which is the same as spirit. So that it actually reads, the Spirit blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And lastly, we look at the transformation that lives or leads to a life rather that pleases God. Remember, firstly, we looked at after meeting Jesus, you cannot be the same. Your life is radically changed and transformed. You do not live how you used to live in the world. That means you've gone from death to life, and now it means that you'll be transformed by the Spirit so that you can live a life pleasing to God. You'll bear fruits unto everlasting life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, what are these fruits? These fruits we know are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, remember the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 21, that the fruit of the Spirit. So we must be careful not to pinpoint those fruits and think that we are to work our way in those fruits. The Spirit of God does that to an obedient heart. To someone that is truly born again, as you know, our question today is, are you born again? That is still a question to you. I hope it's piercing your heart because I really, really want to see all of us together fellowshipping with Jesus Christ one day, falling at His feet, praising His name, worshipping Him and glorifying Him, because we need to know that our Savior, or if you do not know Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Look at our context today, brothers and sisters. Look at COVID. Look at what's happening in South Africa. The EFF is doing what they want to. Look at what's happening in America. All these different movements, BLM, Antifa, all these movements of movements that are anti-God. They are anti the Bible. They are anti-Christianity. Therefore, we cannot fellowship with darkness. That is darkness. Darkness to light. We need light, brothers and sisters. We need the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the fruits that come from that, is that we fellowship with one another, we love one another, we grow with one another. Remember John chapter 7. Remember John chapter 19. Nicodemus was being transformed because of his meeting with Jesus, because of that moment where he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we have to understand what the new man is. What is the new man? If you want to know what the new man is, take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 from verses 17 onward. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Right, so you've had your meeting with Jesus, He's changed your life, you cannot walk how you used to walk. And those people that are still living in the world. They're living in the futility of the mind, the scripture says, having their understanding darkened. being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, right? The old man is gone. The new man is here. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be renewed in your understanding of Jesus, be renewed in the fact that you are born again by the Spirit of God and that you've led into a new life with Jesus Christ. That is what Paul is saying. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:10-17, you can also go look at that scripture. Colossians 3:10-17, to look at what the new man is. But I want to close by looking at how important it is, brothers and sisters. It is a plea of my heart. It is a plea of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Through the text, we can see it's his plea that we are born again by his Spirit. If you look at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you've got the seven churches. And to those seven churches, you see many promises made by Jesus to those churches at the end of each letter. And I'd just like to read one or two for you. For example, to the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To the church in Smyrna, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Folks, if you are born again, you will only die once. Other than if the Lord Jesus raptures his church, you will only die once. But if you do not know Lord Jesus Christ, you will die twice. And the second death is of eternal fire, of hell and of brimstone and of gnashing of teeth. Darkness that can be felt so severe that you do not want to be there. You will wish, like Lazarus, that someone can just come and wet your tongue with a bit of water. To the church of Pergamos, to him who overcomes, I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. So you can see there are many promises to those that are born again. In this present age, we get to live a life that is holy and acceptable to God. It's our reasonable service. Romans 12:1-2. Do not conform to this world, brothers and sisters, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the Spirit of God. You will never look back once you've met Jesus. You will never ever look back once you've met Jesus. I have met Jesus Christ. 5 years ago, I can remember it clear as day, I met the Lord Jesus Christ in hospital, and I have never ever looked back, and I praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Folk, come to Jesus. Come to the one who gives eternal life. Come to the one who died for us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember, the gospel is the most beautiful message you will ever hear, and it will be the most important decision you make ever in your life. And that decision is that, do you believe that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world? He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. Believe me, brothers and sisters, no one comes to the Father but through him. My life's a testimony. I pray that your life's a testimony. Paul's life was a testimony. Peter's life was a testimony. Nicodemus's life was a testimony. Go spend time in this text, folks, and look what it means to be born again. Go look at the other scriptures we've covered today. And I pray that the Lord speaks to your heart, that if you're just a churchgoer, that he changes that for you. That you go to the Lord with an open heart and say, Lord, I need to know what that man was talking about. I do not feel that I'm born again. And believe me, if you're asking you're born again, you are not probably born again. Because you need to know when you're born again. You know that the Lord has transformed your life. He's changed everything. Remember, darkness to light, unholiness to godliness, unrighteousness to righteousness. All these things the Lord Jesus has granted us and more. Repent and be converted. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent and be converted so that your sins may be forgiven. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this interaction, this message with Nicodemus, Lord. Thank you that once we meet you, we cannot be the same again. And thank you that after that, Lord, thank you that after that we go from death into life. We go from death to life because you have brought us eternal life. Not only eternal life, but life now. Life in abundance. And thank you that that transformation leads to a life that is pleasing to God. Lord, we cannot live with those that take us away from Jesus. We cannot fellowship with darkness. We cannot watch those things we used to watch. We cannot have the mouth we used to have. We cannot do any of those things because you have made us. You've wanted to make us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for this message. Bless it to the hearts and minds of the hearers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have an amazing Sunday. And folks, are you born again? That is the question. Be blessed.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Our King will